The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Wednesday's action. On this edition, you'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 12:40pm with Gareth Topham, Craig Forsyth and Rory Delaghi in the studio. We've got jumping from Newbury and Newcastle alongside all-weather action at Lingfield in the afternoon. And we finish the day with an all-weather fixture on the Poly Track at Kempton. Plenty to look forward to. My name is Mark Walton and joining me in the studio is Mr. Sean Quinn. How are you, Sean?
Yeah, good, Mark. And yourself?
Yeah, good, thank you. Plenty of news to talk about before we get underway with Wednesday's action, Sean. We'll start with Bobsworth and Road to Riches, who both ran in the Lexus Chase last month. Road to Riches, the winner, of course, and Bobsworth finished second last. We understand that both of them now will go straight to the festival.
Yeah, I think that's slightly less surprising with regards to Road to Riches, Mark, a horse who's been on the go for quite a long time. Although Noel Mead has stressed that in between his races, he has been able to ease off the horse, so he feels, you know, he'll have him fresh and well come the festival, and I've no doubt the former Irish champion trainer will get him there at the top of his game. Bobsworth is a little more surprising. I mean, we've never seen a huge amount of Bobsworth, have we?
No.
You know, ever since he was sort of novice hurdling, he was only ever a horse who had four or five runs a season. It was all geared towards the big races in the spring with him, but you know, he's only had one run in the Lexus this time around. Disappointed in that, ran a lifeless race, and now head straight for the Gold Cup. Whether it's just that connections want to keep the mileage down with this horse, or whether he's becoming a harder horse to train in his older age, I'm not sure. But I would have thought they might have taken in something like the Argento Chase or the Denman Chase, trying to see him in a more positive light, Mark, before going for the big one. But hey-ho, that's... you know, that's the way Nicky Henderson has decided to go. And, of course, he knows the horse better than any of us.
Yeah. And we do know that he's got a great festival record. If they can get him right, he's going to run his race anyway, I think. And apparently he's in good form. He couldn't be better. And he's just having a couple of weeks off after Leopardstown. I suppose if you don't need to run him and they think they can get him ready without running him, I suppose it's probably, like you said, they know the horse better than anyone else.
Yeah, and maybe it's that they have targets with him after the Gold Cup as well. Of course, whether he goes to Liverpool, I don't know, but there's the big Irish festivals as well. So it might be that they just want to keep the mileage down so that they've got something to go with the other side of Cheltenham.
Okay, well, you mentioned the Denman Chase there. The reigning Denman Chase winner is Harry Topper, who looks set to try and defend his crown. Although Kim Bailey's he's given Newbury a bit of a battering with his comments, hasn't he, about the prize money?
Yeah, he's probably not wrong, though. Just in comparison with the Cotswold Chase, how one can be worth 100,000 and one only 50,000 is slightly baffling. He's put it up to Newbury, and I think he has a very valid point. You know, some of these courses, it doesn't do them harm to be named and shamed. Now, on the flip side of that, Newbury do also run the Betfair Hurdle on the same said day, which is the richest handicap hurdle.
Yeah.
In Europe, I think I'm right in saying. So, you know, let's not completely put the gun to their head. They do offer a lot of good prize money and host quality racing. It's just in this instance, he's not happy. That said, though, if you felt that aggrieved about it, then go to Cheltenham for the Cotswold Chase. If money motivates in this instance, then you'd surely go to Cheltenham.
I suppose the dilemma is he's got a very good record at Newbury.
Yeah, but you can't have your cake and eat it, can you?
Well, yeah. Exactly.
You know?
You tell him, Sean.
Well, it's simple, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
Clearly, in this instance, money isn't the motivating factor. He wants to use a race as a stepping stone. He's a little bit miffed that one of the races is only worth half the prize money. That is his favourite race, clearly, a race that he won last year. You can see why he'd go down that route. But at the same time, Newbury put on fantastic prize money that day. You know, the Betfair Hurdle is staged on the same day. And is worth an awful lot of money. So I'm not giving Newbury too hard a time.
Okay. Let's talk about Duvan. We mentioned him on the last podcast we did, Sean. Ireland senior jumps handicapper, Noel O'Brien, has rated him he reckons he'll be rated about 154, which is higher than Vettor at this stage last year. And he's obviously 5-2 favourite for the Supreme. It's quite a rating to give him, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Justified?
I don't think you could argue too much with it. He's beaten some good horses already. Both last time out in Alfred Des Obo and the time before with Sizing John. So, Duvan has done absolutely nothing wrong, and Noel O'Brien doesn't get it wrong too often with him, with these horses. He's just a very, very exciting horse. Now, I think ratings at this stage with these top notches probably don't mean a whole lot. Let's see them go and do it in the top company at Cheltenham, Liverpool, Punchestown and Ferry House before we start praising them as better than their predecessors. But clearly Noel O'Brien feels he's well on the way to becoming better than last year's top novices.
Mm. Okay, well, we're on the subject of ratings as well and weights and so on. On his own has been given 12 stone if he's to win the Thiestes for a third time. That would be some performance to carry that much weight. I think his closest rival in the weights will be £15 below him.
So. I know, it's amazing. That's the only thing. He might keep a lot of horses out of the race, Mark. Keep them out of the weights. I don't know what Willie Mullins will do with him. Whether he runs him and puts Ruby, or of course David Casey's got a great record on him in the race, or whether he decides to put up one of his promising claiming riders. Of course, you know, David Mullins is a young man claiming £7. I think Declan Lavery, who claims £5, is attached to the yard, or certainly rides out for the yard. So he has options if he's wanting to take a bit of weight off the horse's back as well.
Yeah. Okay, final thing we'll talk about from the news is with regards to the Clarence House Chase at Ascot on Saturday. Assistant trainer to Paul Nicholls, Tom Johansson, is it?
Yeah, Jonasson or something, yeah.
Yeah. He reckons that Dodging Bullets is going to put it up to Sprinter Sakura should they both end up in the race. I know conditions are very much they're monitoring them for Sprinter Sakura because it becomes too testing. They won't run him, but he's 11-10 at the top of the market. Dodging Bullets is 2-1. Summer's be 9-2, 6s for Twin Light and 20s or bigger for the others. What do you make of Sprinter Sakura? I mean, his race course gallop looked perfectly satisfactory, good in fact, and if he turns up on the race course anywhere near his best, Dodging Bullets wouldn't get near him, would he?
No, he shouldn't do. But Dodging Bullets connections have every right to be bullish about a very good run with their star 2 mile chaser. You know, he's coming into the race on the back of a career best run. They probably couldn't have him in any better form, and you know, they're right to go to Ascot and have a crack, because you get the impression with Sprinter Sakura, when he comes back, he's either going to wow us again, which fingers crossed he does, or there might be a bit of a blip. And I'll put it this way, I can't see him running an honourable second. I think it's all or nothing. That's just a gut feeling.
Yeah, I agree with that as well. I think he'll either be dazzling as normal, and if there's any sign of anything not being right, I think they'll probably just pull him up anyway, won't they?
For sure.
Yeah.
I can see why the Dodging Bullets camp would be confident. You know, they've their horse at the peak of his powers, and you know, if Sprinter Sakura doesn't turn up, then he's going to be bang there at the finish.
Mm. If Dodging Bullets was yours, Sean, would you say let's go really go at this? Really try and get Sprinter Sakura somewhere near out of his comfort zone and test to see how good he is, because if you're going to beat him, this is the time to do it, isn't it?
Yeah, although I don't know if Sprinter Sakura's on form, can any horse getting him out of his comfort zone? Because you know, we saw how keen and enthusiastic he was in his earlier races, Mark. You know, Barry Geraghty was often having to take a pull on the horse at an early stage in his race. So if he's back to his best, I don't think that's the way to get him beaten. I think they might find they're only cutting their own throats if they really go hard. Dodging Bullets himself is not a slow horse. He's a horse with a bit of a turn of foot, Mark. So
yeah.
I don't know how they'll ride him, but I would say it's doubtful they'll really try and put the gun to the horse's head.
Okay. And on the flip side, if Sprinter Sakura was yours, would you risk him on the testing ground? Would you do the same thing? And if it is too soft, just wait for Cheltenham?
Yeah, I don't think I think they'll be happy to run him on the ground. You know, he's a big, strong horse. 17 hands and, you know, French bred. He should handle the soft ground, no problem. He might be better on better ground, but I don't think that'll be a huge excuse if he's to get beat at the weekend.
Yeah. Okay. Anything else catch your eye, Sean, or shall we move on to Wednesday's action?
No, I think that's about it. Obviously, Jeff Huffer plans to return to training. It'd be interesting to see his application for a licence approved. If he does get it approved, then he'll become private trainer to Phil Cunningham. Of course, they enjoyed success with Cotney Rebel, so it's a case of watch this space regarding that.
Mm. We will. Let's move on, though. Let's look at Wednesday's action, and we'll get Sean's thoughts for Newcastle on the back of this.
William Hill Racing Radio. From the first race until the last, it's everything to give you the inside track.
Okay, on to Wednesday. We're going to look at the action at Newcastle because there is an 8 a.m. inspection at Newbury, and from what I've heard today, the weather's not doing them any favours. It's absolutely pouring it down around Newbury. So we'll look at Newcastle, and the first race that Sean's picked out there is the 12:30. This is Division 1 of this National Hunt Novices Hurdle. It's over 2 miles, nine of them in the lineup here, Sean, and we're probably going to get a pretty short priced favourite here in the shape of West End Star.
Yeah, West End Star hasn't been seen since February of last year, but Donald McCain subsequently gave $125,000 for him at the Brightwells sale that took place during the Cheltenham Festival of last year. He's a son of old Vic out of a Rosalier mare, so he should, in time, want further than this 2 miles, but it may be a case of him being a classy animal and having the speed to win in novice company over this trip before stepping up. The ground could be quite testing at Newcastle as well, so I think that'll probably suit him. It'll play to his strengths, it'll draw out his stamina and might blunt the speed of some of the other horses in the race, so he's interesting. Dr. Phoenix is interesting, travelling up from David Dennis's yard. This horse had his first start for the yard at Huntingdon on Boxing Day. He finished third, but it was only a six-runner race. He's going to need to improve to win, but he'd definitely be one to be interested in if you were playing the race without the likely fav or having an each-way bet. Lucinda Russell's horse, Jack Steele, was bought for $33,000 at Cheltenham in November of last year. Runs in JP McManus's colours. Of course, JP supports Lucinda Russell and her team a bit. He was third on debut for the yard. Probably needs to build on that to be winning here. But again, like Dr. Phoenix, looks a horse who might have a bit of a future. The top horse, Aristo Duplessis, was fourth on New Year's Day round Catrick. This horse has an official rating of 109, so you'd imagine he'd be playing it out for place honours as well, but the most interesting horse in this race, no doubt, is West End Star.
Okay. On to the second race we're going to look at, which is the 3:15 at Newcastle. This is a Class 3 handicap chase over 3 miles. We have eight of them in the lineup for this one, and pretty good races, actually, Sean. There's a few of these coming into this in good form, and the likes of Habby Simpson and Neptune Equestria arrive in winning form. How do you see it going?
Yeah, Habby Simpson is a horse who has competed in plenty of hunter chases in recent years, and his rider, Tom Hamilton, gets a good tune out of him, so he's interesting in against the handicappers again. Neptune Equestria was a winner last time out at Kelso. We know stamina is his forte, and soft ground poses no problems to him, so the 3 miles here at Newcastle shouldn't be a problem for him. Green Flag, the top weight, he's an interesting horse. I thought he ran well on his seasonal reappearance at Carlisle, very well in a decent race, and then disappointed at Aintree over the bigger obstacles. But he wouldn't be the first horse to not take to the larger obstacles at Aintree and then bounce back pretty soon afterwards. And you know, everything is set for him to run a decent race. Phil the Power was last seen finishing third for Sue Smith. Dougie Costello rode him that day, and he takes the ride again. We know what Phil the Power's game is all about. He likes to jump out and bowl along and try and put his rivals to the sword. With the presence of Rose of the Moon here, that might be difficult. There's a chance they could cut each other's throats and serve it up for one of the others in the race. So that will be a small worry. Premier Grand Cru unseated his rider last time out, but prior to that looked to be still progressing. However, I'm going to go with Green Flag. He might be a touch overpriced here. I'm going to forgive him that Aintree run last time out and hope over these conventional park fences he can be seen in a better light.
Yeah, and he's only £2 higher than winning at Newcastle in November last year. So.
Yeah, exactly. There are a lot of positives, barring that...
2 years ago now.
Yeah, 2013. Yeah. Barring that below par run, though, last time, there are a lot of positives.
Mm. The 3:50 at Newcastle is where we finish. This is a mare's maiden open national hunt race, so we finish with a maiden bumper for... mares here. It's over 2 miles, and your old man's got a runner in here in the shape of Keeler's Girl, who was a point-to-point winner and makes a debut for the yard, Sean. What do you make of her before she has a race course
debut? Yeah, she won a point-to-point at Kilworth down in the south of Ireland near Cork towards the back end of last year. I then bought her at Cheltenham in November. Gave 20,000 for her. And she came recommended. She came recommended as a filly who will win plenty of races down the line. She certainly wasn't mooted as one having superstar potential, but the man who sold her as the filly said that he felt she would be up to winning a Northern Bumper and going on novice hurdling and then, of course, chasing. She's already won over fences, of course, in that point-to-point. And she comes from a really strong staying family, so certainly when we go jumping obstacles, she'll want further than 2 miles. But in these conditions, 2 miles will be plenty far enough for these young fillies and mares, Mark. And no, she's a filly we like, and I hope she'll run a promising race on debut. Malcolm Jefferson's horse, La Dama de Hierro, is very interesting. A daughter of Proclamation. Malcolm bred this mare himself. She's out of the mare altogether now, which makes her a half-sister to the likes of Stick Together, Macada and Cape York. They were pretty decent performers and all bumper winners, I think I'm right in saying. Certainly Macada and Cape York won bumpers. Malcolm has a good record in bumpers, so you'd have to respect that. Tim Easterby runs Penny Tara on debut. It'll be interesting to see how the market speaks of her. Berkshire Downs, Lucy Normile's charge is probably going to need to improve. Well, he's definitely going to need to improve on that running at Newcastle in early December. And Nick Alexander and his team run Jane's Fantasy, a daughter of Robin Desprez. Like our filly, she comes from a strong staying family, so you'd imagine that she'll be seen to better effect over obstacles and over a trip in time. So an interesting little bumper, but I hope our mare Keeler's Girl will be somewhere towards the head of affairs come the death.
Okay, hopefully so. Let's just have a quick summary, Sean, if you'll spin us through your thoughts for Newcastle one more time.
Yep, no problem. In the opening race at now 12:30, I think Donald McCain's newcomer is going to be very, very hard to beat. That is West End Star. We then go to the 3:15, the penultimate race on the card, a good class 3 handicap chase. Green Flag, the top weight, is the selection for me to bounce back from that lesser run at Aintree last time out. And in the last race, I hope our filly Keeler's Girl can make a winning debut for us, but I'd have huge respect for La Dama de Hierro.
Okay, good stuff. Thank you very much, Sean. Good luck on Wednesday and enjoy the action.
Cheers, Mark.
So there you go. Thoughts of Sean Quinn on Wednesday's racing. You'll hear it all on Racing Radio from 12:40 p.m. Gareth Topham, Craig Forsyth and Rory Delaghi will be the team in the studio. We have jumping from Newbury, hopefully, if it goes ahead, and Newcastle. There's also all-weather racing at Lingfield in the afternoon, and we finish the day with an all-weather fixture at Kempton. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing Podcast, and enjoy Wednesday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.